Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahabiryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavahitamastuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Chaitanya of the Nayanam, then the Natya Shastra, chapter 1, then verses 76 to 97, construction of the playhouse. Having noticed these attempts caused by the insult of the Daityas, Bharat Muni, along with his sons, approached Brahma and said, O Holy One, O and best of gods, the Vignas, the evil spirits, are determined to spoil this dramatic performance. So enlighten me about the means of its protection. Because if you're doing them amongst the demigods, and it's always going to be the demoniac against the divine mentality. And so then the problem is the demons don't like that. O high-souled one, said Brahma, then to Vishwakarma, build carefully a playhouse of the best type. After constructing it according to the instruction, i.e. Vishwakarma, this instruction, he, Vishwakarma, went with folded palms to Brahma's court, and said, O God, please have a look at the playhouse which has been made ready. Then Brahma, along with Indra and all other gods, went to have a view of the playhouse. On seeing it, Brahma asked the rest of the gods to cooperate in the protection of the playhouse in its several parts and of the objects relating to dramatic performance. Chandra, the moon god, to protect the main building. The Lokapalas, guardians of the world, its sides. The Maruts, its four corners. Varuna, the space within the building. Mitra, the tiring room. Agni, the stage. Clouds, the musical instruments. Deities of four color groups, the pillars. The Adityas and the Rudras, the space between the pillars. The Bhutas, spirits, the railings. The Apsaras, its rooms. So now you know when the railing breaks, then who's in charge?
But is it specifically for the theater?
Yes, but I'm sure as all these would be others. Because when you have in the building, we don't get involved in it because we worship Krishna, so we don't have to deal with the demigods. But those that do the, what is it called? Who are generally working, you know, more strongly within the Varnashram, then even if, it means all, if they're not Vaishnavas, of course they are doing. But even if they are, you see some like the Shris, then they may do. No, Shris, I think, I think it's called Vishwadeva Puja or something, where the Balidan. They cook rice, and then they go around the house, and it's different places that where they put rice. Like in old temples, you see sometimes outside the temple in a corner or something, there's this little pillar, like the base of a pillar with a flat top. And all decorated and all that, but it's just sitting there. There's nothing else, and it's not like there's. It was used to hold. That's where the Balidan goes. So they go and they put rice there. So the Pujari go around and put it in all those places and all that. But we don't worry about that. So that's why when they say, "Oh, it's so much regulation," so no, we've done pretty good. You know, cook without eating stuff while we're eating, and then offer it to Krishna. You know, like that. So we're doing okay. So they do they have all the different who controls what, this and that, so they all have to be respected. It's all part of the debts. So you have the debts of the forefathers, debts of the Bhutas, means you have all these things that you have to do. Like that. So we just serve Krishna and we're good. But this is specifically what's being described now is for how layout for the theater. Like that. You know, in the home, then there's more detail. The Apsaras, its rooms. The Yakshinis, the entire house. the ocean god, the ground, Yama, the door, the two Naga kings, Ananta and Vasuki, the two blades of the door, Dwarapatra. That's why there's two, right? Because otherwise, if they're one, then, you know, you don't have Ananta and Vasuki. That's why there's two. That makes sense?
So one is not considered auspicious.
It's not considered ideal, though. That's why, like you see in the data, there's always two. No matter how big or small, there's always two. You can have a single door within a door, like what we have here. You know, like in Vrindavan, in the temple, you have those two big doors, and then you have that little door within it. Mm-hmm. That you can do. But you don't have just a single door. You know, I mean, it's popular, people do it, but actually double doors are more appropriate. But, you know, if you don't have, don't worry about it. If you're in the West, they don't have double doors. So you're happy with that you have a door. Be happy. They have double doors. Had. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so many things you see. The rod of Yama, the door frame. Okay. So, to step through the door, you should be religious. Niyati and Yama, Mritu, were made two doorkeepers. And the great Indra himself stayed by the side of the stage. When the Matavarani was placed lightning, which was capable of killing Daityas. Matavarani 3. Where was 2? Oh, that was up there, okay. Railings on the side of the stage for protection of the axters. Right, so that's there. Those are, how you say, was placed lightning is capable of killing Daityas, because if they tried to come up on the stage and attack the actors, then these railings would protect them. And the protection of its pillars was entrusted to the very strong Bhutas. Yakshas, Pisachas, and the pillars to the very strong Bhutas, Yakshas, Pisachas, and Guhyakas. And the Jarjara, the banner staff, was posted thunder, Vajra, the destroyer of Daityas, and in its sections were stationed the best and powerful gods. In the topmost section was placed Brahma, in the second Shiva, in the third Vishnu, in the fourth Kartikeya, and in the fifth great Nagas such as Sesha, Vasuki, and Takshaka. Right? So you think, oh, why is Vishnu in the middle? Because he's the middle, he's what makes it all work. Thus, for the destruction of the Vignas, gods were placed in different parts of the Jarjara. And Brahma himself occupied the middle of the stage. It is for this reason that flowers are scattered there at the beginning of the performance. Denizens of the nether regions, such as the Yakshas, the Guhyakas, and the Panagas, were employed to protect the bottom of the stage. Indra is further ordered to protect the actor who assumes the role of the hero. Saraswati, the actress, assuming the role of the heroine. Omkara, the gesture. And Shiva, the rest of the characters. He, Brahma, said that the gods who were employed to protect the play would be its guardian deities. Verses 98 to 121. Right, so they performed the drama, but because the demons came, then they got upset when they were being then the drama showed them being defeated by the demigods. So they objected, and there was a riot. So then they thought, okay, now what to do? So then Brahma said, we'll make a theater. Then it's inside, they can't see. Right, and all the demigods will protect them and everything like that. Verses 98 to 121. Characteristics of a drama. Brahma then called the evil spirits and said, why are you spoiling the dramatic performance? Questioned thus by Brahma, Virupaksha, together with the Daityas and Vignas, said these conciliatory words. The knowledge of the dramatic arch, which you have introduced for the first time at the desire of the gods, has put us in an unfavorable light. And this is done by you for the sake of the gods. This ought not have been done by you, who is the first progenitor of the world, from whom came out alike gods as well as Daityas. These words being uttered by Virupaksha, Brahma said, "Enough of your anger, O Daityas. Give up your grievance. I have prepared this Natya Veda, which will determine the good luck or ill luck of you as well as of the gods, and which will take into account acts and ideas of you as well as of the gods. In it, Natya, there is no exclusive representation of the demons or the gods, for the drama is a representation of the states, Bhavanu Kirtana, of the three worlds. In it, sometimes there is reference to duty, sometimes to games, sometimes to money, sometimes to peace, sometimes laughter is found in it, sometimes fight, sometimes lovemaking, and sometimes killing of people. This teaches duties to those who go against duty, love to those who are eager for its fulfillment, and it chastises those who are ill-bred or unruly, promotes self-restraint and those who are disciplined, gives courage to cowards, energy to heroic persons, enlightens men of poor intellect, and it gives wisdom to the learned. This gives diversion to kings and firmness of mind to persons afflicted with sorrow, and hints of acquiring money to those who are for earning it, and it brings composure to persons agitated in mind. The drama, as I have devised, is a mimicry of actions and conducts of people, which is rich in various emotions, and which depicts various different situations. This will relate to actions of men, good, bad, and indifferent, and will give courage, amusement, and happiness, as well as counsel to them all. The drama will thus be instructive to all, through actions and states depicted in it, and through mellows arising out of it. It will give relief to unlucky persons who are afflicted with sorrow and grief, or overwork, and will be conducive to observance of duty as well as fame, long life, intellect, and general good, and will educate people. There is no wise maxim, no learning, no art, no craft, no device, no action that is not found in the drama. Hence, I have devised a drama in which meet all the departments of knowledge, different arts, and various actions. Right? Because the idea originally was, all these Vedas and that, everybody's not going to study. So now how to get something that the maximum people can get, all the general people can get benefit from. And at the same time, it'll still be beneficial for the gods, right? For those who can follow. And so here he's saying that there's no wise maxim, no learning, no art, no craft, no device, no action that's not found in the drama. So everything's in the drama. All these different things are there. So every branch of knowledge, everything can be used. There's nothing that can't be used. Okay. So you should not have any anger towards the gods, for a mimicry of the world with its seven divisions, Saptadvipa, has been made a rule of in the drama. Stories taken out of the Vedic as well as... Okay. And so here... Now, if we want to explain what is a drama, what's its importance, what is it does, what its characteristics are, then, you know, if you're talking to someone who's agreeing, you may or may not clear doubts. But here, they're talking to those that have issue with drama, and so explaining to them the benefit of drama and what it actually is, then you see, then it becomes, you know, very very clear. So you can see how nicely it works out, but just how it's presented.
Maharaj, can say that one aspect of the drama is education.
Yes, yes. Yes. Mr. mentioned it will educate people. Enlightens men of poor intellect and gives wisdom to the learned. And thus drama will be instructive to all, through actions and states depicted in it, and through mellows arising out of it. Yeah. And will give and be conducive to observance of duty as well as to fame, long life, intellect, general good, and will educate people. Yeah, so it's part of you know, the education process. It uses all the knowledge, all the different things, and so everybody can be engaged. Because if you're playing the part of someone who is practicing the Vedic culture and that particular branch of knowledge, then you're going to say all the things and represent them. Like that. Does that make sense? And so, because you're representing, someone moved this or the tick ticky? Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought he came and got it. Does that make sense? So then you can do that. You yourself might not be doing those things, but you can do it. And then in this way, you become educated. Those others in the drama those watching become educated. So that's the whole idea, is that the educational, it's one way, it's education for everyone, because that was the anxiety. How will people be educated in the Veda when everyone's not studying the Veda? Right? Because, they don't necessarily, common people may not take it so seriously. So, but dramas they'll watch. Yeah. So if dramas are about, that have themes, the Vedic, about Krishna consciousness, that way everybody gets benefited. Yes.
In the drama, it seems to be two parties. And like you mentioned, the actors, they're educated. And mm-hmm. the audience is educated.
Mm-hmm.
However, the audience is quite passive. So how can we help them to become more active? Not in the drama, but because nowadays it looked at as if it's entertainment only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an educational program. Mm-hmm. They come, they have a good time, and then we're back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because there's something that's being brought out. Some theme is there. The interactions, how they do, the knowledge that's used, the emotions, because it has to bring out the emotions within the audience. If it does that, then it's strong. That's why Prabhupada was saying that they practice their drama for a year and everyone's saying, why are you practicing so long? But when they perform, then it evoked emotion from all the audience. And so that's what you're trying to get. So if the audience actually has something, then it's there. But if it's just entertainment, and I think it was mentioned before, he's not here today, but these aspects, just, music is just for the music, or just that, that's for the demons. Then it is entertainment. So what's happened is it's fallen into the, it's not functioning as natural, religious state. It's functioning in a way that still follows the rules, but now its purpose is just entertainment. But it should be that something is being done. So before, things would be there's something to learn from it and something this and that, though maybe more hidden. But at the same time, it's still mundane. So that's why before they would do these great, great stories from the Puranas and Itihasas and this. And that's generally what's used. Because then there's so much to learn. In the way of culture and the philosophy, the personal dealings, what are appropriate feelings for certain situations, like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like nowadays, you see, people meet a police comes up to them to talk to them, immediately they're angry and aggressive and don't accept authority and stuff like that, so then people just learn like that. Instead of being respectful, and then if they behave badly, then you take care of it. Does that make sense? Yeah, so, yeah. So. Stories taken out of the Vedic as well as Puranic texts, capable of giving pleasure, where human nature with its joys and sorrows is depicted by means of representation through gestures, words, costumes, etc., is called drama. So that's what it is. Taking out a Vedic as well as Puranic text. So, because there's stories in the Veda also. In the Samhita, there's all kinds of stories. So any of these stories in the Vedic and Puranic text, those then can be used. Yes?
Generally, there are natakas made in local language by the king's poets.
Yes.
They used to write the natakas in local languages.
Right, right.
And those people used to come and perform
right.
in the villages. And
right.
father used to say every day evening they used to go and attend.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's very nice. Yeah, before it was much more prominent. There were more opportunities for... Because now everyone will sit at home and watch whatever they watch, like that. But before it was these things were there. That way people were educated, someone paid for that, the actors are maintained, culture is there. You know, everybody got out, came together. Otherwise now they just sit at their home. And then sitting at their home, then each one sits on their own devices watching something. They're not even watching something together as a family. But here, the whole family go out with other families in the community, they'd be watching one thing. Then if they've all watched that, now they have something to talk about. But otherwise, you have five family members watching five different things. Each one doesn't like the other one. You know, it means they're that kind of genre. And so there's nothing to talk about. And you spent your whole day. So that's the problem. Well, before it was to go out and there's common dramas, now they have something to talk about. Common values, common exposure, common samskaras. So that's the definition of drama. Yeah, capable of giving pleasure, right? Means people become happy by seeing the performance. Within that, there may be joys and sorrows, but you're going through that with the actors, you know, portraying the different personalities. And then they're depicted through gestures, words, costumes, you know, scenery, all these things. Then Brahma, okay, so then, you know, the demons were then happy. But this is already after they made the theater. So, verses 122 to 129. Offering puja to the gods at the stage. Then Brahma said to all the gods, perform duly in the playhouse a ceremony, yajna, with offerings, homa, mantras, sacred plants, japa, and the offerings in it should consist of eatables, hard as well as soft, bhojya and bhakshya. Thus you will have a happy adoration among the mortals. A dramatic spectacle, preksha, should not be held without offering puja to the stage. Right, so you generally see, it's like, if you've ever seen like Bharatanatyam and some of these traditional Odissi and that, The actor first comes out, and then there's something where they're offering bang bang, doing something like that. So the Odissi will be the simplest because they're just offering respect to, you know, the state and connecting to do something for Jagannath. And while in the Bharatanatyam, you see there's a little bit more. There's the Pushpanjali, there's some mantras and some other things like that. So that's the worship of the stage. So you see nowadays they don't bother with worship the stage. Yeah. He who will hold a dramatic spectacle without offering the puja will find his knowledge of the art useless, and he will be reborn as an animal of lower order. Hence, producers of a play should first of all offer by all means puja to the presiding deity of the stage, which is similar to the Vedic sacrifice. Right, so that's the sacrifice. They are offering that puja. Right? The actor, Nartaka, or his wealthy patron, Artapati, who does not offer this puja or does not cause it to be offered, will sustain a loss. So you know, somebody's going to do it. It may be, you know, the patron may be, hosting and all that, but he's seeing that it's done, and the actors are doing it. Not the, oh, we don't want to do all that, you know. No, it has to be done. He who will offer this puja according to the rules and observe practice will attain auspicious wealth and will go to the heavens after death. Right? So that's just the thing, because, you know, people are looking for their benefits, so this is one of the aspects of the benefits. So before they did all this and everything went very nicely. Now they don't do this. Now actors are known to be poor. You know? Patrons, why do they want to support these wild people? You know, they're nasty, they're self-centered. They don't respect authority. So, you know, who cares? Vritti. Having detailed on the origin of drama and the need of playhouse construction. Okay, no need of that. Bharata Muni next describes the rules for construction of a proper playhouse and its effective usage. So now we're going to see what's the layout. Because before we just heard it had all these parts to it and who was the deities, why it was there, a proper, you know, concise definition, and then how the worship must go on there. Right? So now, chapter 2, description of the playhouse. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having described the story behind the origin of drama and the construction of playhouse in the heavenly realm, Bharat Muni, on the request of the sages, next specifies about the rules and regulations regarding various aspects related to the construction and proper maintenance of a playhouse. He discusses about the three main types of playhouses and their ideal measurements for gods and humans. The ground plan for construction of a playhouse, various aspects related to building of the stage, and different types of decoration on the stage. Right? Because then that makes it, you know, in other words, the whole idea is how well it suits being able to perform the play. Because if the stage is right, it has all the facilities, then so much can be done nicely. And if it's not, then it's more difficult.
The Maharaj is to teach it always very important aspect, aesthetic.
Aesthetics, yes, always.
It's part of the culture.
Yes, yes.
And so any presentation that you have to do.
Yes, must be aesthetic, and it has the facilities to make it work nicely. Because everyone knows it's a play, but you want to do it in such a way that that maintains that flavor. You know, so in other words, if it's difficult to get on and off stage, like let's say they all sit down in the front and everyone has to climb up over the stage and all that, you kind of like lose something, you know? When the princess has to get trying to climb up on the stage, and then when she finally stands up, dusts herself off, then she does the thing. You know, you lose something. So you try to create and maintain that flavor through the whole thing, beginning to end. There should be no break. You know, just in rasa, there's no break. That, yeah, like you said, so the aesthetic aspect, that flavor, that mood, the you know, everything matches and balances all that place. You know? And it has from very elaborate to more simple. Just like we say, there's 10, you'll see there's 10 kinds of drama. It means from a 10 act down to a 1 act. And so you have so much variety on what you can do.
So Maharaj, aesthetics is connected to the consciousness.
Aesthetics is connected to consciousness. Yes, it helps improve. It improves. It refines consciousness, because aesthetics means you're aware of more fine things, more detail, and so then it helps. If you're aware of more detail, then you can be also use that, you know, to be more aware of the detail, the philosophy and the culture, and how it applies in your life. So the aesthetics is supposed to help bring you to goodness. Nowadays, it's used more to get you to passion, you know, or get some other benefits. But it should be used, but it gets you to goodness so that you can use it in the Lord's service, like that. So it's not, the goal is not goodness. The goal is Krishna consciousness. But this helps. You know, it's just like, let's say we want to make a chapati, but then kneading the dough very nicely and then letting it rest for some time then makes a better chapati. You know, so that's all. It helps in making the chapati. It's not about kneading dough that we don't, you know, it's not one of our sadhanas. We make dough and knead it well and let it rest and then do nothing. Oh, what's this for? Oh, no, nothing. I'm finished with that one. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Shloka Nisharanam, verses 1 to 3. Sages request Bharat Muni to describe about the playhouse and its rituals. On hearing Bharat's words, the sages said, "O Holy One, we would like to hear about the ceremony relating to the stage, and how are the men of future to offer puja in the playhouse or the practices related to it? As the production of a drama begins with the playhouse, Natya Mandapa, we request you to give us its description." So, since the play is taking place in there, you know, what's the description? But then naturally you have, how is the puja done? How is that? How does all these things unfold? Verses 7 to 14. 4 to 17. Three types of playhouse. On hearing these words of the sages, Bharat begins to first elaborate about the construction of the three types of playhouse. There are three types of playhouse devised by the wise, Vishvakarma, the heavenly architect, in the treatise on his art, Vastu Shastra. So in other words, it'll come from Vastu. So they're all, you see, is all these different things are connected. So the theater, one's home, the temple, the city, you know, all these things, the furniture, all these things, the vehicles, they're all connected with Vastu. They're all. They are oblong or rectangular, vrikshrita, square, chaturasa, and triangular, triashra. Triashra. Their sizes may vary. So you can have a rectangular, a square, or a triangular. And so each one of them will have their function for what you're doing. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Their sizes vary. They may be large, jeshta, middle-sized, madhya, and small, avara. The lengths of these three types, fixed in terms of cubits, that means hands, 18 inches from your elbow to your and your fingers. As well as dandas. Danda is 4 cubits, or 4 hands, so 6 feet. Okay. As well as dandas, is 108, 64, and 32, respectively. So I think it's 108 hands, 64 hands, 32 hands. So then 32 hands would be 48 feet. So, yeah, like this. But, you know, that's you could say, that length. So this could be a small drama house, rectangular. Right? And you see, it works for a small group and all that, but if you want a bigger, then you have to have a medium. The large playhouse is meant for gods, and the middle-sized one for kings, while the rest of people... Yes?
We see in the West, it's usually round. Like a circle.
Yeah.
Is it okay? Because here he didn't mention that.
No, it's generally be off the square. You have to see how it is, because it depends upon where it is. Then they'll have a round aspect, but you generally see the audience sitting within lines, within a square. They might have a little bit of a curve. And the stage may be straight or have a little bit. Generally, it doesn't have a curve. It'll have kind of 3 sides, like that.
So it's not very auspicious to have a circle.
Generally, circle may be attractive because it's the shape for artists.
Yeah, they don't like angles.
Yeah, because squares for Brahmins, rectangulars for kings, oval is for Vaishyas. And round is for shudras. But in this, because you're performing all the different things, it's a shudra's place, it's where they get to work. You know, so therefore, it doesn't have to have their shape. But if it's round, you use it. Okay. While the rest are for the while for the rest of the people has been described the smallest theater. Because if you're just having some, you know, smaller thing like that, then, you know, something like this is big enough where you and your friends or family can do something and invite your friends and family and stuff like that. Or you might see as like they do out, like you're saying, out in public, so out in the street. So they won't use any more than a small area. And then people will sit around because it's in a village. Because if they do bigger, then that means it's also, when you say kings, because then they have to be sponsoring it. Because all these things are sponsored. Like that. An oblong playhouse meant for mortals should be 64 cubits in length and 30 cubits in width. So 64 in length and 32 in width. So it would be basically, let's see, 32, yeah, 48 feet. It would be basically how long this is. A touch more, I think. Wait for me. Wait, that says. That would be like one more arch. That would be that wide, and then double the other. So how long this is, it would be double that. So you see, most theaters that they do are generally more towards that, or a touch bigger. Older ones are a touch bigger. I think modern ones are smaller. Like that. So an oblong playhouse meant for mortar should be 64 cubits in length and 32 cubits in breadth. So 64 cubits, that means 64, 28, so that's 96 feet long and 48 feet wide. Unfortunately, I can't convert that into... Yeah. Oh, okay. You kind of get, yeah.
It's quite amazing to see the detail.
The detail, yes. Because if you get bigger or smaller than this, then you can't really function. Because it's like if you're doing for kings, they're going to have bigger productions. If you're doing for common people, they have smaller productions. So a smaller theater, then you have less space. Like if you go into a big theater and, you know, there's, you know, 20 people or 30 people sitting there and two people on the stage, it doesn't seem right. You know, it's got a huge stage, huge, you want to see the place full of people and the place full of, and the stage full. So you have to do, something. Like there's that in a very interesting stage in Bangkok. It's, I think it's government sponsored. It's a drama. It's written. It's about the kind of like the history of Thailand, and going back old history. You know, back to the Khmers and all that, and the different places in Thailand, because there's different cultures in the north and in the middle and the south and then the northeast, like that. So they have this stage. I think it's the biggest in the world. It's like the stage itself is like over 100 feet, you know, and the depth of the stage. The depth of the stage would be, you know, like half again as big as this, you know, it'd be like from that, you know, that little roundhouse there to the bushes over there. That's the depth this way of the stage, and the width will be like three times that. And they even use in the audience, you have one group that's close and one group that's a little far. And in the middle, there's a huge walkway. Normally, there's a small one, very big, because at some point in the drama, elephants walk through. You know, there's a whole procession going through on elephants. They just walk straight through and stuff. And there's water on the stage. The front part of the stage, there's actually a river. And they create rain. There's boats going in it. You need actual boats. It's not just a mechanic. They're actually going in boats. Like that. So it's put on by the government. So it's huge. You expect a big production. And they're in the main stage or in the side stages. So because it's done on that royal level, that maintain, then you can have such big productions. But if you're doing something smaller, I remember in our city we had, it was called the Little Theater. I mean, literally, it was not much bigger than this. It was a little bit deeper if you count the audience, but that's all it was. And it was an amateur theater for people who are into it. And so it had its own little management and that. But it was purely no one was professional. Everyone was good, but it was all like that. So they come and I think maximum had 300 seats. You know, and you know they'd fill it up and it would be fine because they'd regularly do every 3 months they'd do a drama. You know, for some days, and then do another one. So
they have the biggest theater. It's called Big Theater.
Big Theater.
Yeah, that's how it's called. It's very big.
Yeah, Big Theater. Yeah.
Yeah, because they have a small one. So.
Yeah. So this was called the Little Theater because it was little.
Everywhere is the same.
Yeah. You know, and then another place in the city they had one that 2,000 people could sit in. You know, so you know, you just have different productions. Because a little theater means it's going to be small. It's local grihastas and all that. They're enthusiasts and they come in the evening and that and on weekends and they do all the work themselves. You know? So, like that. Yeah, so you have all these things. But the biggest one, the 108 hands, so that means, you know, it's all like 150 feet. So that means it's like, what, 200 meters. No, not 200 meters. Like that. It's really big. That's for the demigods, because they're big and they, you know, they can very loud and things like that. Oh, yeah, the Roman theaters, they were a lot of times round, weren't they?
That's what I'm saying, because we
The Greek ones. Yeah, it was round.
This is the origin, but they're all round.
Round, yeah.
They called arena. In Verona, they have arena.
Arena, yeah, round, right, yeah.
It's and then, still functional.
Yeah, yeah.
It's outside there.
Yeah, no, it works. It works. I think also in Los Angeles you have the I think the Rose Bowl. I think it's round. It's round. Is it, unless I'm mixing it with something else, there's a stage that is like a half round stage, and the back of the stage looks like a seashell.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's very good acoustics. And then the audience is around. It's not so big. It's not so small. Like that. Very famous. You've seen?
No,
I'm
not.
Familiar. Yeah.
In Russia, the buildings are square.
Yes.
But inside, still,
they do round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you take it that it's a square. It's a square theater.
They have different stages inside.
Yeah.
One. It's like main stage and then
some. Yes, that's what you'll see here. They have that. The old stages they had more than one. It's yeah. It's a main stage and you have side stages.
Yeah.
Not in the same. Not in the same area. Like the entrance, the one stage, and then the entrance from there, it's a different thing.
Oh, I see different programs going on. Well, here you have, it's like three stages combined, a main stage and two small stages, because you can use all three of them at the same time. You know, it's very elaborate dramas. Because otherwise, when you only have one stage, you always have to work into it something. You know, you have to flash in and out and do this, but then they do it right there. You have so these things, now they're getting into it, I think, from the influence of the French directors and stuff like that. They get into, like, the drama that you see now is much more influenced by the French directors. The stuff now, since 2000. But before that, you saw the Hollywood. It was more just big, broad, things like that, very few cuts and things like that. And that the French brought in this thing of, you know, these different cuts and angles and movings and walking with cameras and doing different things that were that kind of, you know, came out of the art house kind of thing. So everyone was, you know, they were impressed by that, and then they made that into the big, big kind of theater. But the Vedic, that's already written in, that you have these small things and you can work in narration and this, but it's not off stage. There's a guy there narrating it to you. You know, because if someone's just talking in the background, but if someone's there and telling you about it, it's much more interactive. You know? So, that's the thing, as he said, when he says all, what was it? Where was it here? All devices, no device. Every device that there is, it's there. In the Vedic dramas, in the Sanskrit dramas. And in the modern, some will have one part, some will have another, and because of that, they give them different names. But in the Vedic, they were all part of one thing. So the drama had everything in it. Like that. And like it says, it's that you have the three set stages, but you can also, is where the musician's stage, you can put a close a curtain there if you want to give a dramatic entrance, so that way you have a fourth position. And then behind the wall where the musicians are, because it's not that high, then you can put a scaffolding and someone can stand up there and do something. You know, like demigods might from there, you know, do something. Like you see Arjuna's there, and then all the demigods appeared on the peaks of the mountains and gave blessings and all that, you know, when he did his austerity. So then you can put the demigods up there. So you have like that. Shakespearean theater has a little kind of these aspects to it. But, you know, other than Shakespearean plays, no one really uses the theater that way. But you can, you know. Nowadays they try to do different things, but, you know, some do more, some do less. Yes.
The dimensions mentioned here are for human achievement. And it is even being used in modern, some of the standard theater systems. This text, what the dimension mentioned here,
yes,
is for human achievement.
The biggest one is for the demigods. Means you can make it that big, but it's just the demigods generally use that big. The 108. Off the 64, you know, in other words, the biggest side, 108, that's for the demigods. The biggest side, 64, that's for the humans. The biggest side, The 32, the kings, and the 32 is for general public. Yeah, means people, probably in India, people still use it because it's those at least older theaters and that, they would have gone by the Shastra. Modern things, they just do whatever they like the Sydney Opera House and all that. That's shaped like a, it's kind of like a triangle. If you say it's triangular, it's a bunch of triangles. But at the same time, they're round, so they're like, they're trying to get the acoustics, but it didn't quite work. They went over budget, so the guy who actually designed it didn't finish it, so the guys that finished it didn't know what he was doing, so they spent a lot of money and didn't get as good a results as they should have. Yes. But it's like triangular. Okay. Verses 18 to 24, disadvantages of too big a playhouse. No one should build a playhouse bigger than the above, for a play produced in it will not be properly expressive. For anything recited or uttered in too big a playhouse will be losing euphony for the hearers due to weak resonance of the sounds uttered. Right? If it's too big, then they're too far away, you can't hear. As in nowadays, they have to mic everything and that, but in proper theaters, you don't really need the mics. It should be that it's done because they put everything so that there's no echoes and all that, so then it's very clear. And when they speak, you can hear, as long as the audience is quiet. Like that. But you see is that this, the seats are the old seats are all like velvety. The backgrounds and everything is all something soft that absorbs sounds. And the ceilings, they'll be all cloth. The side walls are all cloth, so except for the specific material that the props that they're using, everything was for deadening sound. And so there was previously no need of microphones like that. So that's the idea. Otherwise, they're too far away, you can't see the expressions either. Because the idea, you want to hear, you want to see the expressions, you want to catch the subtleties and all that. Nowadays, they'll make these really big places for money rather than for it's big because you have come to see, but you're so far back. Then
at the time, Maharaj, people were not paying to see the Ramana, but no charge.
Yeah, that's also because you have your you have your sponsor, and then it's free, like that. And so that's there, but now it's being used as money making. That's the thing: is things that are supposed to be educational, beneficial, things like that, like education, the theater, money, law, these things are supposed to be there for the benefit, medicine for the benefit of the people. But nowadays, people have figured out how to make money from it, and that's all. And so therefore, then it loses its position. Like if you don't have insurance, you can't get anything done in medicine. It's just you can't. Like that. In law, how do you get that? Unless someone wants to take it up. It doesn't get done. It's just everything's so expensive because they make money out of all these like brahminical things that are not supposed to be used for money. That's the difficulty. You're supposed to make your money off of goods that people require and like that. And so that's there. But they make it off of things that don't require. And in those places, that's where you make the biggest money. Like doctors, lawyers, and run schools, they make the biggest money. But those are the places you're not supposed to be making money. So in that way also, it's a false economy. So there's no piety. And so then you see it all falls apart. Besides this, when the playhouse is very big, the expressions in the face of actors on which rests the representation of emotional states and mellows will not be distinctly visible to all the spectators. So that's why you see they're not too big. Hence, it is desirable that playhouses should be of medium size, so that the recitatives as well as the songs in it may be more easily heard by the spectators. Creations of gods observed in house and gardens are the outcome of their mere will. While men are to make careful efforts in their creation. Right, so the gods who want to do so, they're very big, they're very expansive, that's fine. Right? you know, it's like when Vishvakarma made the that Shabha for the Pandavas. Oh yeah, no, that's he made that. Yeah, but he made the one there. That was in Dwarka. The one for the Pandavas was made by Mayadana. The courtyard itself was 2 miles by 2 miles, so 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. That's the open area in the middle. Then you have everything around it. That's why Duryodhana was so blown away. You know? And then we hear the detail, just the size of it. And inside, you had real water and real lotuses and lilies. And you also had all these jeweled lotuses and lilies also. You know, and the swans were there. You know, can you imagine? You have this 3 kilometers in the middle, and nice things. Swans will come and sit there. Why won't they? They sit in smaller things than cities. You know. So then you'll always have this kind of stuff. And so Duryodhana was so amazed. So that's what he says. You know, creations of gods observed in the house and gardens are the outcome of their mere will. You know, they want to make it that big, and they can. You know. Well, men are to be make careful efforts in their creation. Men are supposed to make it more proper. Hence, men should not try to rival the creation of gods. Right? So, when you're rivaling the creations of gods, it's God's doing it. You know, Vishvakarma built the city, Indraprastha. Right? So, he's a god. He can do whatever he likes. And Mayadhanava is the architect for the demons. So they're also that godly state. And so he makes the Shabha how he likes. Right? So therefore, people can't rival that. That's why Duryodhana was so disturbed. Because right? He couldn't rival that. Verses 33 to 63. The ground planned for a rectangular playhouse. The builder should measure a plot of land 64 cubits long and 32 cubits in breadth and divide it into 2 equal parts. The part which will be behind him, which is away from the entrance, will have to be divided again into 2 equal halves. Of these halves, one behind him should be again divided equally in 2 parts. And on one of these will be made the stage. And on the back part, the tiring room. Right? That means tiring here, we would call nowadays dressing room. Right? Having divided the plot of land according to the rules laid down before, he should lay in it the foundation of the playhouse during the auspicious part of a happy titi under the asterism mula. It's a lambda scorpionis. That means anything to you? And during the ceremony of laying the foundation, all the musical instruments such as shankha, conch shell, dundubi, mridanga, and panava should be sounded. The master of dramatic art, after he has fasted for 3 days, is to raise the pillars in an auspicious moment at dawn. But so you're taking the theater. This is the rectangular, so it's 64. So at 32, you'll divide it in half there, so you have 32 before you from the entrance up to there, and then you have another 32 behind, right? Then that's divided again in half, right? And so now you have 16, and then again in half, then that's 8. 8 hands is 12 feet, right? So basically there, then you're going to have from that, then that last end, that will be for the actors. Then the front of that'll be for the stage. Does that make sense? So basically, 3/4 of it is for audience. But at the same time, you'll see there's going to be things that extend out also into that other 16 hands that were there. It means we've taken the stage like this, divided in half, right? That's divided in half, and that's divided in half. So this part's for the actors, you know, dressing and all that. This part is for the stage. But in here, there's going to be places for Brahma, the other stages coming out, and stuff like that. Yeah. And then the audience sits here. After all these rules have been put into practice and all the musical instruments have been sounded, one should raise the pillars with the muttering over them of a suitable mantra, which is as follows. quote, just as the Mount of Meru is immovable and the Himalaya is very strong, so be thou immovable and bring victory to the king. Thus the expert should build up pillars, doors, walls, and the tiring room according to rules. Okay. After, okay, 68 to 74, the stage. Then one should construct the stage after a due performance of all the acts prescribed by rules, and the stage should include six pieces of wood. I don't know. Tiring room should be furnished with two doors. In filling up the ground marked for the stage, the black earth should be used with great care. Right, so in other words, it's not hollow underneath. It's raised and it's filled, right? So it's, you're on the ground, just like in the deities are on the ground. Yes. They're not in the air. Yes. Should be, yeah, like that. This earth is to be made free from stone chips, gravel, and grass by the use of a plow. Right, so all these things are taken out. It's not just to use things as fill, right? No, it's all supposed to be pure, right? Use the field for the road. Right? Those who will do the plowing work should be free from physical defects of all kinds, and the earth should be carried in new baskets by persons free from defective limbs. Right? Because you're going to trying to create all auspiciousness. Here. Thus, one should carefully construct the plinth of the stage, Ranga Shira. It must not be convex, like the back of a lotus or that of a fish. For a stage, the ground, which is as level as the surface of a mirror, is commendable. But so it's on flat ground. You're on flat ground. You're not on a curved thing. Jewels and precious stones should be laid underneath by expert builders, right? Because there's certain places where you put, and that's where the different, for the auspicious for all the planets and that. Okay. Diamond is to be put in the east, lapis lazuli in the south, quartz in the west, and coral in the north. In the center, gold. Outside the pillars, seats should be constructed in the form of a staircase by means of bricks and wood for the accommodation of the spectators. So the seats means, it goes in levels like this. Right? It's not that you have, regular old seats like they have nowadays, but they would be flat platform because everyone would sit, cross-legged. You bring whatever it is you want to sit on and that, bring your blanket and that. And so then, a certain amount of people can see, then the next level is up so that they see over their heads the next. So then that goes up and then you see it's down and then the stage is up again. Yeah, a bit like that. But here it raises a little bit then goes down for the feet, but here it would be more flat. But in any case, it's like stairs. Even if you want to do it like that, it's like stairs that go up. So even if you want to put in seats and all that, then it's done in that fashion, that it the back is higher than the front. Successive rows of seats should be made one cubic higher than those preceding them. In other words, it goes up 18 inches each time. And the lowest rows of seat being one cubit higher than the floor, and all these seats should overlook the stage. So you have the floor, then the front seats are 18 inches above that, right? Then the next one is 18 above, like this, so it goes up. So then it'll be quite, you see those old also the Greek theaters and that, they're quite high in the back, like that. So yeah. Okay. Yeah, and all of them should overlook the stage so they can all have a clear view of the stage. No pillars in between, no. Yeah, you'd have to arrange the roof that it's... Yeah. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.